Antonia, I hate to embarrass you like this, but I'm going to read a little interview you gave to Village Voice about Ewan Brando years ago. The interviewer, Will McKinley, asked why you'd called your book about Brando Choking on Brando, and you replied, "When I was 10, I came downstairs in the middle of the night. My parents were watching A Streetcar Named Desire, and I had a little collapse." Brando's performance made you lose control of your body? Antonia Quirk, yes. It was just the full-on sex appeal, his charisma. I can remember very clearly being entirely overcome by his physique, his voice, his face. I was very young, and I wasn't entirely sure what to do with those feelings. I just wigged out. Antonia, has your appreciation of this man matured a little since then?
No, I continue to wig out on a regular basis. I never tire of talking about Brando or speculating about him, of watching him. I find him absurdly fascinating. This is a bottomless fascination. And yes, I saw him when I was 10 in Streetcar Named Desire. My parents were watching the television and we had a little black and white television and they didn't watch it very often. And there were three things that happened that evening that were important. It was the first time I'd seen a movie. And I remember the way the light from the screen lit their faces and it seemed super magical. This is what cinema was, even though it was coming from a television. And then my father said, "This is A Streetcar Named Desire." I thought, "A Streetcar Named Desire is a name that seemed to contain the full scale of adult life. Can you imagine a more wonderful title, A Streetcar Named Desire?" And then there's this guy in the middle of a brawl and then with a wet T-shirt and then standing out of the brawl and crying against a pillar. And I can remember the camera going in very, very closely to his face. And I can see his face very, very clearly right now, even talking about it. It's the eyes. There is the folds over the corners of his eyes, the curve, the bow where the jawbone meets the neck, which is incredibly beautiful.
You've studied every detail.
Yeah, and the thunderclap of his voice as well. And that was a thing that I remember really clearly. And you know, what's extraordinary about Brando is that of all actors, it's easy to believe something near mystical of Brando more than any other. Because when you look at photographs of him, even as a small child in Omaha, even then there's something experienced in his face. And whenever I see it, I can go right back to that movie. I can access that moment at 10 immediately. And someone saying, "This is Marlon Brando. He's the best actor in the world," and I'm right back there.
I shall have to interrupt you. You could go on like this for the entire programme. Is it a woman thing? I don't see this in Brando at all. Never did.
Really?
No. And I'm gay.
And you don't find him remotely attractive?
Well,
you can't
see
that he's beautiful.
Quite good looking, but I...
good looking. Yes. How incredible.
Segment 1.
Antonia, I hate to embarrass you like this, but I'm going to read a little interview you gave to Village Voice about Ewan Brando years ago. The interviewer, Will McKinley, asked why you'd called your book about Brando Choking on Brando, and you replied, "When I was 10, I came downstairs in the middle of the night. My parents were watching A Streetcar Named Desire, and I had a little collapse." Brando's performance made you lose control of your body? Antonia Quirk, yes. It was just the full-on sex appeal, his charisma. I can remember very clearly being entirely overcome by his physique, his voice, his face.
Segment 2.
I was very young, and I wasn't entirely sure what to do with those feelings. I just wigged out. Antonia, has your appreciation of this man matured a little since then?
No, I continue to wig out on a regular basis. I never tire of talking about Brando or speculating about him, of watching him. I find him absurdly fascinating. This is a bottomless fascination. And yes, I saw him when I was 10 in Streetcar Named Desire. My parents were watching the television and we had a little black and white television and they didn't watch it very often. And there were three things that happened that evening that were important. It was the first time I'd seen a movie. And I remember the way the light from the screen lit their faces and it seemed super magical. This is what cinema was, even though it was coming from a television.
Segment 3.
And then my father said, "This is A Streetcar Named Desire." I thought, "A Streetcar Named Desire is a name that seemed to contain the full scale of adult life. Can you imagine a more wonderful title, A Streetcar Named Desire?" And then there's this guy in the middle of a brawl and then with a wet T-shirt and then standing out of the brawl and crying against a pillar. And I can remember the camera going in very, very closely to his face. And I can see his face very, very clearly right now, even talking about it. It's the eyes. There is the folds over the corners of his eyes, the curve, the bow where the jawbone meets the neck, which is incredibly
beautiful.
You've
studied every detail.
Yeah.
Segment 4.
And the thunderclap of his voice as well. And that was a thing that I remember really clearly. And you know, what's extraordinary about Brando is that of all actors, it's easy to believe something near mystical of Brando more than any other. Because when you look at photographs of him, even as a small child in Omaha, even then there's something experienced in his face. And whenever I see it, I can go right back to that movie. I can access that moment at 10 immediately. And someone saying, "This is Marlon Brando. He's the best actor in the world," and I'm right back there.
I shall have to interrupt you. You could go on like this for the entire programme. Is it a woman thing? I don't see this in Brando at all. Never did.
Really?
No. And I'm gay.
And you don't find him remotely attractive?
Well,
you can't even see that he's beautiful.
Quite good looking, but
Quite good looking. Yes. How incredible.